Hello, dear friends. This is Moment of Harmony, the last day, day 22. And of course, we will go on with the practice of harmony. But today is the crowning message of Euripides Barsanuvo to us as we meditate and reflect on harmony. Right. How have you been feeling throughout this last 21 days? Doesn't it make a difference? Yes, there is a particular empowering movement when we meditate on serenity, when we meditate on harmonization, inner tranquility. We feel less of the need of manipulating, of controlling, of anxiety, anguishes. And Euripides Barsanulfo, as grateful as we are to him, we learn with him the opportunity, a single opportunity of being here, recharging ourselves. He is helping us connect with this beautiful currents of constructiveness. Let's not forget, right? In life, there are two frequencies, the frequency of constructiveness and of destructiveness, destruction and construction. André Luiz, in a book that hopefully we'll be studying today, one day, Mecanismos da Mediunidade, Mechanisms of Mediumship. André Luiz, through Chico Xavier and Valdo Vieira, two mediums, one spirit, as a spokesperson of the beyond, bringing to us this immortal awareness that we think as we think we connect. As we connect, we may connect to inform currents of constructiveness or destructive mental currents. Have you assessed yourself? Because throughout these 21 days, we were asked by Professor Euripides Barsanulfo to assess ourselves. Have we assessed ourselves in regards to how often are we positive? Are we having thoughts, feelings, words, and actions that are constructive? Have we been operating more at that level? Hopefully. For many lives, we have been spending a lot of time in destructiveness. Destruction. What is it? It's when we don't believe in ourselves, or we don't believe God's providence, or we don't believe in life, we don't believe in others. And that's the frequency of destructive mental currents. We need to change it. Even the current science, positive psychology, showing to us the benefits of being optimistic. Many people are afraid of being optimistic. Are you afraid? They are afraid because they think, what if I am optimistic and things don't happen the way I expect? I'll be frustrated. I'll be more hurt than I am now. And I said, you know, that doesn't make sense. That logic is flawed. It's like there is a fallacy in it. What is it? There is a law. The law of the mental field. I attract what I emit. Of course, in previous lives, God knows what I have emitted. Thank God I don't remember. In this life, I have already emitted some other things. Well, naturally, I sow, I reap. I sow, I reap. But right now, as we speak, we're sowing. What are you sowing? What am I sowing? We're sowing the good with God. Co-creating this good together by spending the time wisely, using the hours that we have at hand, studying, meditating on the harmony with God. These are signs that we are operating in the frequency of the constructive mental currents. There will be a day we'll spend our whole day in that frequency of constructiveness. For now, we need to push a little more each and every day. Is it worthwhile? We think so. So it is worthwhile to believe in the good. No wonder Jesus said, those who follow, he said it to Bartholomew, and for your reference, it's chapter 8 of the book Good News, through the spirit Humberto de Campos, the medium Chico Xavier. Bartholomew, much like ourselves, wanted the world to be changed. He wanted to have what others had. In other words, he was frustrated. He was depressed. He was melancholic. He was nostalgic regarding his mother. He was resented because of his brother's behaviors, his father's, you know, roughness, his companions at work, and the fact that life was not treating him right, he felt that way. Many people are like this. And he approached the master and said, just like ourselves, I love spiritism, right? How many people say, love, it's amazing. But you know, I still have not, you know, changed my life. You know, I don't know how to go from point A, what I know, to point B, where I want to be. Really, B is where I want to be, right? I don't know. Bartholomew said the same thing to Jesus, said, I love your messages of the good news, but I really don't know how to live it in my daily life. Jesus very kindly turned to Bartholomew, and in a beautiful dialogue, you can read it in the Spiritist magazine. We're launching a new website this weekend where you have an easier access to all the issues of the magazine. But for now, you can read it in our app, which is free of charge. I just need to go back and see which issue. Later, I will write down here in this post on Facebook, write down the issue of the magazine where we have the English translation of that chapter 8 of the book Good News. It says to us, Jesus said, Bartholomew, have you heard of good news that doesn't bring us joy? So rejoice, because the trademark of the followers of the good news is, what is it? Joy, courage, and hope. Joy, courage, and hope. Again, joy, courage, and hope. So being optimistic is part of it. Oh yeah. Do I have doubt that the world is going to be better? No. Is it going to be overnight? No. But is it going to happen? Yes, it's already happening. And am I not going to suffer? No. Why? Because suffering is an interpretation of life. To feel afflicted depends on our breakdown of what's happening to us. That's why the spirits say, like Leon Denis, pain is law in your world. Why? Because we're supposed to suffer? No, but because suffering is subjective. It is, in many instances. I really know people who have lots of issues. They never complain. And they truly feel happy. And I know people who have a few issues or not at all, and they're complaining all the time. So it's interpretation. It depends on how we see what is around us. And that makes sense because in our brain we have the power to change the meaning of things through the use of our prefrontal cortex. I can change, if somebody is bothering me, I can learn to not feel that stimulus as a bothering stimulus. Science proves it to us. So I can train myself. Somebody is getting on our nerves, they don't need to change. But I can change the way I allow that to push a button inside of me. And then I become immune to that stimulus. It is on us to assess what that means, why it's bothering us, why it's causing affliction, and how to change it. It is possible. It's not only in the teachings of Spiritism. Scientifically, we see experiments that were done in which we can change the way we feel about things. So again, if something is getting on your nerves, you first breathe in and out and tell yourself, why is it getting on my nerves? How can I be less susceptible to it? If you go to the Spirit Book by Allan Kardec, which is always our main reference, in the Spirit Book by Allan Kardec, and forgive me, I don't recall the number of the question, but there is a question and answer in which the spirits tell us that we may be less vulnerable when we become less attached. And what is attachment? It's a particularity of our ego. I need this mouse. It's mine. So cute. I'm never going to give it to anybody. No. Well, and then it hurts. Somebody comes here, steals it. Oh my God, they stole my adorable, unique, cute, flowery, pinkish mouse. My life is over. You see, my day started bad. Is it the problem of the person who stole it? Or is it mine? Because the meaning I gave to it, it feels like this is like a $1 million mouse, right? If I were selling it now, mamma mia. $1 million, let's do an auction. $1 million for the mouse. Right, Livia Moraes? Yeah, but if anybody wants it, I can send it to you. Of course I can. Why? Because one day it's not going to be mine. One day, sooner or later, from now to the time in which God says, Vanessa, come back home to the spiritual realm. Bye, mouse. Please do not bury me with the mouse. Because I don't need the mouse in the spiritual realm. Not this one. If I marry it, I'll be accessing rooms that in which there are computers. Hopefully. Same for books. Books are not in the lower zones. We've never heard that there are books in the lower zones. So we better eat the books now. Because if we end up there, it's not going to be there. I'm joking, but it's serious. There are no books in the lower zones, not good books. To access books in the spiritual realm, we need to merit. Libraries in the spiritual realm are accessible to people who are at another level. And if we are not taking advantage of the books we have now, we won't be able to access them easily in the afterlife. Okay, these are just a few things we're saying as an introduction to us, because today in our final message, this message I'm going to read to you was psychographed a few days from Christmas in the year 1958. It was December 22nd, 1958. And I'm referring to the date because you see contents in the message referring to Christmas. I know. Maybe if you're listening to us on demand on Christmas, it pertains to Christmas. But if you're listening to this right now, March 23rd, 2018, it's not Christmas yet. But it should be. It should be every day. So we tonight rejoice. We today rejoice because we are harmonizing ourselves with the real deal, which is the spirit of Christmas, which is the spirit of Christ. It's about simplicity. The coming of the promised consoler to us tonight, referring to the coming of the Messiah, the one that was awaited by generations, and to whom we owe our lives. For us who came to know Christ and Spiritism, our lives were changed since the very day we became acquainted of the fact that Christ is our guiding model. Let us read. Let us read the message as if we are listening to the educator, the teacher, Professor Eurípides Barçanuf. My companions, may the Master's mantle of light cover us all, giving us renewed opportunities for service and learning. The little crib of straws in Bethlehem represents the most beautiful symbol of humility, capable of touching the spiritual understanding of all individuals. The human spirit bows before the simple manger, feeling the need to accommodate the most simple and humble situations to reach the position of peace and intimate joys which come from sobriety in deeds and words. The complication of many situations in our lives comes frequently from the complex machinations of the human spirit that feels incapable of acting with simplicity. Jesus is the eternal source of lights spreading through all the corners of the planet in the eternal longing to seize, to protect, and to illuminate human destinies. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how much simpler your way would be if you were to evoke every day the humble manger. If you were to evoke the humble manger every day. Christmas. Carry the heavenly harmony distributed by the angelic entities in a singular message of love amongst all. Such greatness in a date. How many hearts unite themselves for the same ideal, symbolizing the same luminous focus. We are very small to really feel the meaning of Christmas. That is because we still lack the resources from acquired experiences in the cultivation of love for our neighbor. Let us not forget that the Feast of Hearts begins in the witnessing of the services in the divine harvest. Seek to comply with your obligations towards others. May the Christmas of the Lord be a song of brotherly love to pack the spirits on the earthly pilgrimage and represent a permanent stimulus to the duties of the Christ-conscious solidarity. May Jesus bless us. Eurípides Barçanuf, on December 22nd, 1958. As he says, may this message be a permanent stimulus to the duties that we have of solidarity. We need to be in greater solidarity each and every day. And solidarity doesn't mean we're going to interfere with people's lives, intervene. It means they need something, and we reach out, sometimes through thoughts, feelings, if needed, words and actions. Sometimes we come with actions, but they are not appropriate. So to make less of a mistake in that regard, let's come first with the good intention inside, emanating kindness, emanating love and serenity that comes from God through us. We co-create. So it's like there is a big mole of energy. Think about this. The universe is a mall, a shopping center. And you can shop every day. You wake up with an empty cart and you are shopping. Shop it up, eh? Shop it up, eh? And we are, you know, like the Shopkins. I've been listening to this song because of Virginia. But here we go. Shop it around. Eh? What do I want today? Because God allows you to choose. What do you want? Serenity? You want to share? Share here with me. What would you like to gather in this big shopping center of God, the universe? Because every day we wake up empty cart and say, today I'm going to shop serenity. Serenity comes from God, and it's going to be on us to multiply. And I say multiply, humbly saying, God multiplies, but we, it's like God counts on us to spread it out, right? The other one we want, loving kindness, put it in the cart. What other things we need? We would like to share to people forgiveness? Okay, forgiveness, the elementary matter. And then we work with it each and every day. Here, in this very moment, we have simplicity. Wake up, and he says, evoke the humble manger every day. What is to evoke the humble manger every day? What is it? To evoke is to call. To call in and say, let's go to that simplicity. Think about this. The governor of our planet, the one that created our planet, when he incarnates, he incarnates in a place where animals are sheltered. Right? Evoke is to bring it into our lives, Teresa Castro is saying. Thank you, Teresa. So, if the governor of the planet didn't require much, he didn't demand anything, why do we demand so much in our lives? I see many problems in majority of the relationships that I see because people are constantly feeling entitled to rights that nobody has. And that's why Euripides Barsanulfo says to us, the complication of many situations comes frequently from the machinations, the complex machinations of the human spirit incapable to feel simplicity. He's right. Because we see people demanding from their spouses, from their children in a very self-absorbed way. I see many parents abusing their authority. Oh, but I'm the parent. Well, but you can't abuse your authority, right? Nina Marie Moore, hello. She's saying, I'm happy to latch another level of the Lord. Thank you, Nina. So here we have for us parents abusing their authority or neglecting their children because they don't feel like they're entitled to their duties. They are not supposed to. And they are very permissive, another extreme. Or spouses that are demanding things of each other, friends to one another, boss to employees, employees to boss, neighbor to neighbor, and constantly demanding, feeling that others need and feeling entitled. We in life are supposed to do two things, he says, and Emmanuel often quotes the same. He says, renewed opportunities for service and learning. If I am here to serve and to learn, what do I demand? Nothing. If I feel like demanding anything from anyone, I, at that moment, am displaying an authority that I don't have. That's called pride, ego, egocentrism. But my husband has to do it. That doesn't exist. He can, he should, he may, he might. That would be an English class here to practice all the different possibilities. But must if he wants. Because the law of justice says we need to respect people's rights. Of course we can share. That would be nice, this, that, or the other. Or parents to children. But I am the father. I am the mother. They have to do it. Look. There's no imposition. Have you ever seen the guiding model imposing anything on any of us? The guiding model is Jesus. He's our guiding model. If we don't know how to do anything, look at the guiding model. Oh, has he ever imposed anything? No. Why? Because God doesn't do it either. And he came representing the divine will. And God doesn't impose. God educates. God doesn't punish. God corrects through the natural laws of life. There's no imposition. So why am I going to impose myself? That's the thought, the logic to go back to simplicity. Okay? Let's go back. To evoke the manger, as Teresa Castro said, to bring it into our lives means that we are going to learn and serve. That's it. I enter a store. I'm here to learn and to serve. I'm going to learn something if I pay attention to people and I am compassionate and altruistic. And then I may be able to serve if I verify that people are in need. And you may be walking at a store for your personal purpose, but you know, aware that people in the store are in need of help because they are people, human beings just like us, and you may be available to help. I remember recently stopping by at a Starbucks. I was there, and then there was a lady sitting next to me with an older lady. She turned to me and asked about something, I think. Something that was, I think, probably the purse or something where I bought. And I said, well, I bought it somewhere. And I told her the store. And then she said, you know, because I want to buy it. And she told me in English to my mother-in-law, who is seated here next to me. She came from Syria. She had her house destroyed. And I want to buy something very special. And she has been, you know, willing to have her own bag because she lost everything. At that moment, I was like, oh my God, we see it in the news, and here we have somebody who is in need. Of course, I didn't need to give my bag to her because they were not poor or in need and probably would be insulting. But I said, you know, and I gave her the address and the precise store. Something that we think is superfluous, but God knows. And then she kept telling me, and I kept listening and said, really? Oh my, I'm so sorry to hear that. But I'm glad that she's here, that she's safe, and she's with her son and with you. And then she added up, she said, you know, she was recently diagnosed with cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy. I was like, wow, wow. So I looked at the lady, I smiled at her, she couldn't speak English. But I wanted to give her a hug. I couldn't, physically, but mentally. It could be my mom, could be my grandmother, could be somebody I love dearly. And I looked at her and visualized a hug, comforting her as she looked deeply distressed, not knowing what she's doing here, because she didn't want to come here. She wanted to be home, but her home was destroyed. Can you believe it? It really happens. You may feel that we're far away from it, but we're more connected to the stories of everyone on this planet more than we imagine. And we're being called to serve. In that moment, I was learning. But I could also give my 50 cents of contribution. I couldn't give much more physically, but vibrationally. And empathetically being connected to her. They felt happy. She smiled back to me. And the woman was satisfied because I gave her the name of the store and the address. For me, it was minor, but for them, it represented something important. So that same happens to us. Something may be very dear to us and others, very minor for them. But if they are diligent in laying it out to us or relaying it to us, we are going to be so deeply grateful. And we exchange blessings, as simple as it is. That's the simplicity of life. You come home and you feel, I was attentive. I was not there only drinking my coffee, enjoying a moment with a loved one, but I was open to somebody who came there for whatever reason and left with more reasons to be happy. Who could ever imagine it? Smiling at the people whom we're encountering. And we don't need to say anything. It's more about feeling than saying or doing. So Professor Euripides Barçanufo is bringing to us the true feeling of being connected with the Christ consciousness. Simplicity. In all the moments of harmony we have been working upon, there were many lessons. But the crowning one is the simplicity of our Master. simple. He's humble. He's inviting you and I to return to simplicity, like children. To return to humility. To uncomplicate our lives. Right, Lusaboya? God gives us the situations to learn simplicity of life. Exactly. So, uncomplicate our lives, friends. That's the ultimate exercise of harmonization. The connection between us and God is direct. All we need to do is keep it simple. Keep it simple. Love is in the air, literally. It's in the air. It's just a matter of connecting, feeling, recharging. At any moment, distress, anger, discomfort, valid. It's okay. The music says, if I am a little sad, that's okay. That's okay. And then, let us pray. And then I breathe in and out. A prayer simple as God. This feeling is not good. Help me, please. And if I'm a little angry, that's okay. That's okay. Let us pray. Breathing in and out. Boosting the relaxation response in our physical body and saying, put your hand on your chest and say, reassure yourself. Take care of your heart, of your heart chakra. Say, 'cause I am light and I am peace and I am joy of living, as simple as it is. Right? That's the true feeling of the Christ consciousness. As Professor Oedipus Barsanulfo is saying to us, let us comply also with our duties towards others. Yes, we have duties. Family duties, social duties. As we fulfill it, he says, the secret to returning to simplicity lies in the cultivation of love for our neighbor. Open the heart. We need to open. You are a child of God. I am a child of God, and God is love. I breathe in and out, and in the mall of life, there is love. The matter, the elementary matter created by God, is pure love. It's on us to return to its simplicity and be constantly learning and serving, serving and learning. Right? So we can finally feel that holy night. Holy night, never will men see the sky so bright. We'll never see anything alike. Right? From now on. That's the feeling of the holy night. Let us bring it back to us in the simple manner and detach, helping everyone, fulfilling our duties. After all, we're heirs of God. If it's not enough to be children of God, we're the heirs of God. Friends, we rejoice as we complete one more series of studies, practice together. Now it's on us to multiply. We'll stay in touch. And here at Kardec Radio, we're always striving to multiply this good for everyone. Okay? What are we learning next? We'll see, sunshine. We'll see. We will keep you all posted on what's gonna happen next. Let's not forget that in a month, we shall meet in Washington, D.C. for the United States Spiritist Symposium. I look forward to being with you there. Look forward to receiving you here at Kardec Radio, at the Spiritist Art of Virginia, because we're going to have special activities in the week before and after. We hope to have you there, okay? Friends, hopefully God's gonna grant us a new series of other studies and practices. As soon as we get to know, we'll release to you. For now, let us multiply, because after all, you are a child of God. We are children of God. We've reincarnated to learn to do good. A kiss and a hug, and let's stay in harmony, in the simplicity of the Master. Thank you, friends.